cryptocurrency, Bitcoin and the like, it's already fairly technically challenging for a lot of people. Combining it with DNA data, I imagine, is going to make it, well, even more complicated. How exactly does this process work?
Well, we were researching this article because we sort of came across this blockchain as a potential solution to, like, securely sharing your DNA data. At the moment, all of the companies that are sort of establishing in this space are sort of like in the really early stages of starting up. So it's a little bit difficult to know exactly how it's all going to work once they've, like, fully established their products. But yeah, at the moment, buying cryptocurrency isn't that easy for everyone to do. And obviously, it's going to be very important for all of these companies to make that process as frictionless as possible in order for this to work.
Now, the security risks you mentioned, there is the concern that when companies actually have an individual undergoing genetic testing, companies can then on-sell the data to other companies that I imagine will take some advantage of that. So exactly what kind of, how realistic is this this risk right now?
Well, at the moment, some of the companies already have been selling your genetic information. So, and this isn't entirely clear to people, I think, in when they look at the terms and conditions. So when you send your spit sample off to one of the private companies to have your ancestry looked at, those genetic data tend to be sold. Quite a few of the companies already are selling the data.
What's the actual benefit for the companies involved if they are accessing this data or being sold this data? What's the actual benefit in it for them?
There's quite a bit of money to be made in selling the genetic data.
Yeah, so what's been sort of discussed is that companies like 23andMe have been selling de-identified data onto pharmaceutical companies in bulk in order to conduct research, so for drug development and things like that. And so far, that's what we've seen, but then in the future, we may find new uses for genetic data and you know, like what the market could end up like is a bit difficult to tell right now.
I seem to recall a Michael Crichton novel by the name of Next, where the risk would be that people would lose the copyright to their own genetic data, that people would essentially be, well, using private information, private companies' ownership. The private companies would actually own people's genetic data, as it were. Is that a real risk?
Well, at the moment, the legal status of our DNA data and its ownership is unclear. What has been established in the court so far is that you can't patent naturally occurring human genes. But whether or not we actually own our genetic data and have legal control of it is a sort of an open legal question at the moment. But what these companies, the blockchain companies are proposing is to sort of bypass the legal aspect of it and just by the nature of their system put people back in control of their genetic data.
Is there a real benefit for people who are being in control of their own genetic data? Is there a real benefit for people knowing and having access to this data just from an individual point of view?
Well, sure. I think people get gratification learning about their ancestry, connecting to their history, and having control of their genetic data. There are good reasons for people to have their genome sequenced for medical reasons. And what can happen in those scenarios is that someone may get their DNA sequenced to help diagnose a disease or look at a cancer risk, for example. And this, the companies are then proposing that this then allows them to have a place to safely store this data and then share it on with physicians down the track.
So you mentioned there that obviously nobody can patent naturally occurring living genetic material, this DNA, as it were. But are there legal frameworks in place to stop the on-sell of this genetic data, this DNA data of individuals to separate companies?
Well, within the sort of medical genetics world, there's a lot of sort of safety precautions and frameworks and protocols that have to be adhered to in terms of what you do with the data. But what we're seeing now is all of these direct-to-consumer companies, and basically what happens to your data when you sign up to them is all in the user agreement that you sign when you submit your samples to that company. And it's sort of like the same as when you click OK to a whole bunch of, like a big end user license agreement on a computer program. You're generally signing over a lot of rights to the company when you take one of those tests.
So essentially, if people are concerned about the use of their genetic data, their DNA data, they'd be better off reading the reading the contracts, reading these agreements just a little bit more closely.
Yeah. So people shouldn't be worried when they sign up to be part of like a medical research study at a university or something like that. But some of the direct-to-consumer companies, you need to be very clear that you're aware what you're agreeing to when you enter into a contract with them.
And that's something we thought of when looking at these companies that are offering these blockchain solutions. In order for these new cryptocurrency blockchain solutions to work, they're really going to need to find a way to communicate really clearly to the users what they're agreeing to, because we're all used to downloading an app and the terms and conditions come up and you scroll through and there's just so much text there, you just sort of hit OK. And if it's going to be more of that, in sort of not an understandable way, then it's not going to go too far to really solving the problem.
Well, Caitlin and James, thank you very much. Really do appreciate you joining us this morning, having a bit of a chat with us about this very murky issue.
Thanks very much for having us.
Thanks, Sean.